Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on Quirky Catnips, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. This frightfully funny tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Find out what happens when Skitters goes cattywampus for a kitten named Harriet. Tune in each week to hear a new chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat, only on Pet Life Radio. Meow, kitties!
Audio recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
Splat!
Meow, bitches.
Twisted Tales by Skitters the Cat. Part 12.
Did you know that animals can be gay? It's unlikely you'll see a herd of cats marching down Fifth Avenue dressed in rainbow-colored mankinis, but that's primarily because we don't like the high levels of organization such events require. The difference between animals and humans is that animals don't get all worked up about the sexuality of others. You either want to give me a tongue bath or you don't. Anyone who passes on hairballing my fur is nuts. Gender preference has nothing to do with it. I'll admit to canoodling with a male cat I met in my early days with Nancy Neptune. We were young and purient. It happens. They say curiosity killed the cat, but the only thing that's ever endangered my life are actions caused by humans. My same-sex dalliance was harmless and, for the most part, enjoyable. Grundle, my dog bestie, prefers cats over his own species. I'm not sure how successful Grundle's been with the fairer of animals, but he's definitely interested. This desire had a lot to do with why Grundle rescued me from the hyperactive Shih Tzus trying to snack on my stripedy tail. While I was grateful for his service, I'm not into dogs in that sort of way. Nothing personal. I let Grundle down easy, though he still makes a move on me from time to time. While all these activities are par for the course in the animal kingdom, humans can't get it through their thick skulls that there are and should be different strokes for different folks. Religion is to blame for this short-sighted attitude. Nothing makes a religious bigot more paranoid than someone thinking or acting for themselves. It diminishes their power and exposes them as the sniveling boobs they really are. Moon McKenna, the mother of my adorable twins, doesn't beat around the bush about which kind of twaddle she wants to twiddle. Ditto for her husband, Randall, a meat muncher of epic proportions. These two didn't let the Bible beaters of the world stand in their way of marriage or children. It's anyone's guess as to how the twins were conceived. Personally, I don't want a blow-by-blow rundown on anyone's sex life. Next time you're tempted to overshare salacious details, do me a favor and don't.
Chapter 12. Moon McKenna.
We'd been on vacation less than 24 hours before Randall's cell phone rang. The name of the caller didn't show up, but the phone number was from Naval. Randall and the twins were still asleep, so I answered. I was expecting to hear about some hair emergency. What I got instead was an inquiry from Mrs. Fletcher about a load of poisonous flowers that had been dumped on her doorstep. Did those troublesome boys staying at Gecko's Gulch have anything to do with it? Yeah. I didn't say that, but I knew exactly where the belladonna had come from and who put it on the Fletcher's porch. Brandon hasn't exactly been coy in his attempts to woo young Courtney Fletcher. Like most of the girls hoping to win the Naval Days beauty contest, Courtney hangs around the best little hair house in Naval like a bad habit. Lately, Brandon has been doing the same thing. Some of it's due to his lunch delivery service, but it's clear Brandon's prime motivation is to bump into Courtney. Randall likes to keep up to speed with these things. Privately, he's told me Brandon could do a lot better. Courtney is draped in a very unflattering veil of entitlement. It's kind of a head-scratcher since the Fletchers haven't had any juice in Naval in years. I assured Mrs. Fletcher I would get to the bottom of the matter. Bypassing Blue, I called Brandon directly. It was still early, but he picked up. There's only one place I know of where you can gather that many belladonna plants, I said without preamble. Mrs. Fletcher is having a shit fit. Did you know these plants can kill you? I knew this would catch him off guard. Before he had a chance to recover, I said, Juniper Hollow is owned by the mob. If you're on their property, you're not only trespassing, you're doing it in a place where dozens of people have been murdered. I heard Brandon suck in his breath. He wasn't going to lie to me. There was no need. I'm not his parent. I upped my respect for Brandon when he said he was sorry instead of making excuses. How was he supposed to know the plants were poisonous? Brandon didn't grow up here, so he had no idea the locals use belladonna to help terminal patients move on to that bouncy castle in the sky they call the Celestial Kingdom. My friend, Nadine Reinhardt McElprang Stratton via Pondo Davenport Milner, got chased out of Naval for unauthorized use of belladonna. She had developed a curious habit of helping some of her husbands get to heaven in a hurry. That was all good and fine until Nadine offed a guy who wasn't from Naval. His family launched an investigation. They were never able to prove anything, so Nadine escaped going to jail. Not that she's any stranger to spending time in the big house. Before I moved here, Nadine got busted for kidnapping a mentally challenged polygamist from Zion Flats. His name was Laryl Stratton. Nadine and six other women from Naval eventually married Laryl to get him away from his abusive mother. Our friend, Nancy Neptune, hatched the plan, crafting a radio contest called Seven Brides for One Brother. Nadine and her band of otherwise unmarriable women cared for Laryl until after he suffered a series of debilitating strokes. When it came time for Laryl to meet his maker, Nadine hosted a big party and invited the whole town. It was a real humdinger with dancing and dining. This being a dry town, no alcohol was served, but when the party hit its pinnacle, Nadine scooted Laryl off to the Celestial Kingdom with a glass of orange juice laced with belladonna. Oddly, this touched off a fad in Naval, whereby celestial send-offs became all the rage. Instead of having big funerals, it was trendy to host a huge party during which the patient was eventually killed with belladonna. If you think about it, these blowouts made sense. Why put so much emphasis on a funeral that the loved one couldn't attend? Wasn't it better to send them out with a bang? From what I hear, belladonna is one hell of a psychedelic ride. After Nadine iced her fourth husband, and outside authorities were crawling all over Naval like cockroaches, the Masonic Order of Moroni put a stop to celestial send-offs. They're still offing people with belladonna, but it no longer happens in public. Lots of Navalites used to grow belladonna in their yards. It's a gorgeous plant with dark purple berries that open into exquisite flowers. Thanks to Nadine, belladonna is now a banned substance. Only the Masonic Order of Moroni is allowed to use it. Gone are the days of big parties, and in its place, the return of exceedingly long and boring funerals. These kind of gatherings make me want to die. The people of Zion Flats have their own order, but I'm not sure what it's called. The women I hire at Good Karma tend to keep this kind of information close to the vest, or prairie dress, as is the case with these indentured sexual servants. What I do know is that the belladonna plants haven't been removed in Zion Flats like they have been in Naval. There's also an extraordinary amount of belladonna growing at Juniper Hollow. It wasn't hard to figure out where Brandon got his hands on it. Even he wasn't foolish enough to try and nab the plants from Zion Flats. There have been reported cases of some locals using belladonna for recreational purposes. They say Rebecca DeLuca, Evangeline's mother, was dabbling in the drug for years. I can't blame anyone for wanting to escape from the wretched plight of polygamy, but Rebecca had it good compared to most. She did suffer through a number of miscarriages, something that may have been caused by the belladonna. Rebecca's sister wife, Orinda, never got pregnant, so it wasn't like these girls were trying to pull off the typical polygamist, cheaper-by-the-dozen act. I didn't ask how Brandon delivered the flowers to the Fletchers' front porch. They were found the Monday morning after the 4th of July weekend. We had stayed in town long enough for Randall to style all the girls in the Independence Day float for the Naval Day's beauty contestants. I'm sure Blue took Brandon and Taj to the Sunday celebration in Central Park the next day, so they could have dropped them off then. By that time, we were on the road to California. I was in desperate need of a vacation, so I wasn't paying much attention to what everyone else was doing. Like an idiot, I agreed to have the twins meet up with Lexi at Fairyland in Los Angeles. Lexi is a sweetheart, but I'd rather drink turpentine than spend time with her mother Colette, especially without having Blue there to serve as a firewall. I would shuffle the whole thing off onto Randall, but there is no way I am letting my twins go to Fairyland without at least two responsible adults present. Obviously, you can't count Colette. I resigned myself to a tedious day. I must be a saint. Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. Whether you're going on a trip or just tripping, Quirky Cannabis Country is the perfect audiobook to take on your next adventure. Find out what happens when a group of extreme kooks gathers to participate in a reality TV show near an oasis of kick-ass cannabis. Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park. Get it today on audible.com.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We now return to more of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park on Pet Life Radio. Tom, Taj's father, offered to fly the boys out to join us at Fairyland after hearing me whine about it during his last visit to Gecko's Gulch. Brandon can barely hide his contempt for Colette. She has embarrassed him to no end. He doesn't even know most of the details. Blue says Brandon's biological father, Drew Compton, is angling for airtime on Celebrity Cougars. Brandon may suspect Scotty isn't his real dad, though no one has talked to him about Drew Compton. The producers of Celebrity Cougars don't care about Drew or Colette. Scotty's sphincter is the one they're really after. It's not hard to figure out why. The rectal surgeons are burning up the country this summer with their Love and Life on Uranus tour. Scotty is furiously trying to shut down the Drew Compton storyline, although I'm not sure there's much he can really do. In the meantime, the boys seem to be having a great summer. Taj got a job at a Taste of Heaven bakery, and Brandon has kept his emotional meltdowns to a minimum. One thing that worries me, however, is Brandon's apparent grudge against Nephi Stratton, the prophet of Zion Flats. Nephi is a demented narcissist who poses a danger to himself and others. This man is about as stable as a keg of beer balanced on top of a toothpick. I know better than Brandon what Nephi did to Isla Ray. He is a repulsive primate who should be locked up, serving as someone's prison bitch. Nonetheless, tangling with Nephi is risky business. I decided now was the time to share some highly important local lore with Brandon, hoping to stop him from stirring up any more trouble at Juniper Hollow. "Let me be clear, Brandon," I said. Not only did you deliver deadly flowers to a girl you were hoping to date, you got them from a place with an extremely grisly history. That really wasn't the smartest move. In case you're thinking about going back, let me tell you why they call the pond out there Forbidden Lake. Next time you're doing research for your history paper, Google the name Clarice Stratton. She's one of the escapees from Zion Flats who told a reporter in Salt Lake City about how they deal with extreme underachievers. Everyone is well aware of the number of mentally handicapped children born in Zion Flats. With a gene pool less than an inch deep, it's no surprise these interbreeders have so many kids a few fries short of a Happy Meal. These children are way too high maintenance, even with the welfare checks they all qualify for. In the past, Nephi would discard such unwanteds in the Oasis. Then Nancy Neptune came along and pulled the curtain back on their little hidey hole. At the time, Neptune was working at KNVL, one of the radio stations in Naval. She had been sent there by the radio corporation she was working for after screwing up on some kind of spectacular level. While she was here, Neptune put so much pressure on the Pitt County Sheriff's Department, they had to investigate what was going on in the Oasis. By then, Nephi had dug up all the corpses and relocated them. Guess where they put all those putrefied bodies? Brandon took the wrong kind of interest in this information. Look, Brandon, not only did the fantastic fundals from Zion Flats dump a bunch of skeletons in the lake at Juniper Hollow, they used that water to fill the christening font next to the house. Nephi was baptizing people in water steeped in the dregs of human remains. Brandon wanted to know why the cops didn't drag the lake and arrest the people from Zion Flats. Because, Brandon, around here, we have cops like Kip Nichols. That perked up his ears. My sister has been increasingly anxious about Brandon's attempts to entice Courtney Fletcher away from Kip's son. Unbeknownst to Brandon and his father, Blue had a very unsatisfying affair with Kip during the time she lived here. Lech that he is, Kip had a wife and family at home, holding himself up as a good Mormon and, even more laughable, as a capable cop. On the night Rebecca DeLuca reportedly killed herself, her husband, Nicholas, went missing. Their daughter, Evangeline, was found by a non-polygamist neighbor. The sheriff's department showed up at Juniper Hollow and discovered some kind of violent scuffle had occurred in the house. Blood was splashed all over the kitchen, but the power to the house had been cut, so the cops were waiting until daylight to do their investigation. Their mistake was in leaving Kip in charge of guarding the crime scene. This man is such a dunce, he let himself be lured away by a polygamist woman claiming her daughter had fallen and needed help. It took the sheriff's department almost half a day to find Kip. He'd been tied to a fence post several miles away. While Kip was cuddling up to that fence post, Nephi and his band of religious thugs set the house at Juniper Hollow on fire, then drained the lake. It was brilliant, really. They burned all the evidence in the house, removed the bodies from the lake, and washed away any clues that could have been found in the yard. I knew Brandon was going to ask how they did it, so I continued. As you know, Brandon, Forbidden Lake isn't very big. Nephi had installed an irrigation system so they could divert water from the lake to fill their despicable baptism pool. Nephi didn't have to be dunked in that water, so why would he care if it was crawling with dead body bacteria? While the remains of the house were being washed away with lake water, these soulless cretins from Zion Flats removed all the bones and people goop from the bottom of the lake. Where they put this human debris is a mystery. I've heard rumors they jammed the bones into large caskets and buried them in the cemetery at Zion Flats. Again, another smart strategy, as this is the one place you would expect to find dead bodies. I finished this delightful tale by saying, next time you want to take a refreshing swim in that lake, just remember that while the bones may have been fished out, all that decomposed flesh is still in the water. Brandon seemed to be out of questions, so I ended by making him promise to stay away from Juniper Hollow from now on. Brandon can be a bit of a smart aleck, but he's actually a pretty good kid. I knew he wouldn't go back on his word. I could have also tried to steer Brandon away from the Oasis, but the only dead body in there nowadays belongs to Laurel Stratton, and it has a grave marker. It's partially hidden by a flowering crepe myrtle, but there's nothing ooky about this situation. Laurel was buried there because it was his favorite place to hang out. When Blue lived in Naval, she used the Oasis to cultivate a unique brand of marijuana called Agent Orange. She even co-owned a medical marijuana dispensary in Boulder, Colorado for a few years. This was before Blue got together with Scotty. Blue eventually sold her share of the dispensary to her ex-boyfriend, Stephen Finch. Once Stephen had enough starter plants to keep the operation going, Blue removed all the ganja from the Oasis. The cannabis chapter of Blue's life is another bit of information she's trying to hide from Brandon. She rationalizes all these secrets by saying everyone has a past and that she's changed. At this point, I figured there wasn't much trouble Brandon could get into at the Oasis. It's such an eerie spot, most people can't stand to be in there. The only reason I go to the Oasis is to gather ingredients for my skincare products. Specifically, the globe mallow that sprang up after my sister and I accidentally lit the place on fire a few years ago. The properties of this particular strain of globe mallow make the perfect top note for an orange lotion I manufacture. Blue says the reason things grow so well in the Oasis is because all the human flesh that was once buried there makes terrific fertilizer. All I know is that without this particular crop of globe mallow, my orange lotion doesn't turn out right. The citizens of Naval are superstitious by nature, which means they go out of their way to avoid places like the Oasis. They have a strange way of processing reality. Take global warming, for example. Unlike a lot of other Mormons in Utah, the ones in Naval actually do believe the Earth is getting hotter. But instead of being alarmed by man's destruction of the planet, they view it as a time-saving measure. Best to let the sinners burn right here on Earth rather than waiting until they get sent to hell. Naturally, this excludes the Mormon faithful who will be slurping green jello on planet Kolob while everyone else slowly smolders. Before hanging up with Brandon, I thought it might be useful to underscore the importance of our conversation. I don't want any more phone calls from Utah unless someone is ringing to tell me they've won the lottery. In case you didn't know, Brandon, they don't have a lottery in Utah, so please give me the gift of silence. You're welcome to have all the fun you want, but not if it involves something I'm going to have to hear about, especially while I'm on vacation. Brandon assured me he was clear on this. I hung up, looking forward to 2 weeks of R&R, minus 1 day of pure hell, which I would be spending with Scotty's ex-wife at Fairyland. Don't be a jerk. Listen to The Quirk. Quirky Cat gets ghosted, that is. This zany audiobook by Adele Park is The Cat's Meow. Find out what happens when a ghost gets trapped at the DMV and requires the assistance of a snarky cat named Skitters to help her cross over.
I'm so happy I could heave hairballs.
Quirky Cat gets ghosted. Get ghosted today on audible.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.